Your sister treating you well? No?
Oh, my. Oh, my. She seems to think she is. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I don't know, probably a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, I preached a series out of the Song of Solomon. I asked the question, how many of you have ever heard a message out of a series out of the Song of Solomon? Nobody raised their hand. I said, how many of you ever heard a message from the Song of Solomon? Nobody raised their hand. So I preached a series through the book. People avoid the book because they don't understand the meaning of the text. I was prepared this morning, been working on a message about promotion. We're coming into the beginning of the school year, kids are trying to get on football teams, basketball teams, getting on the starting lineup, trying to run for school office, people trying to get going for promotions at work, and things just not happening. Where does promotion come from the Word of God? And I was working on that right up until Thursday, maybe Wednesday, and just something, it was Wednesday, because something happened Wednesday, and I thought, you know, I'm going to put this off for a week, and I'm going to do this message this morning. And then Wednesday night, after the service, that's how I know it was Wednesday. Wednesday night after the service, one of the teenagers got dismissed from their room over here, walked down to the parking lot, and came all the way inside. I was talking to someone up front. They came all the way up front, and they stood there till I was done and handed me a note. And this was the topic they asked to have addressed. So we're going to look at the topic this morning of this. Are you convinced of God's love? Eden, are you in the room? So the title is Convinced of God's Love. And from Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poureth forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Now you look at this and you go, why are we talking about this on Sunday morning? So you've got to understand the history of this book, and then you've got to understand the characters of the book. And we were probably 6 months in the book, so I'm just going to give you a brief overview. We're in a time, Song of Solomon is a time of kings. And kings, much as in the book of Esther, when there was a vacancy in the queen, would go out into the countryside and find eligible young women and force them to come and compete for the king would choose. And maybe he would choose one, and maybe he would keep 100. And so in the Song of Solomon, we have a young lady who has been caught up into that. Now, she is a believer. She is she knows Christ, much like Esther, in the book of Esther, who was caught up into that. And but we don't know her name. So she is at the castle where she is being kept, where she is being forced. Now, before this, she was out in the field, and her skin is sun-baked, and she is dark. And some of the other gals, they're city girls, and they've got light complexions. I don't know, but compared to them, she just didn't feel like she was different. But she was not only different on the outside, she was different on the inside, because she didn't want to be here.
She wanted to be with the shepherd, the one that she loved. So as we read the historical narrative, which is what the Song of Solomon is, we have a young lady who is righteous and has someone that she has been betrothed to. King didn't care about that, but she did. So throughout the text, you will see that she longs for the shepherd, and she longs to be with him. Throughout the text, you'll find, and we'll not get there this morning, but you'll find that the shepherd comes to where she is in the castle. Now, he can't get in because he's not on the guest list. He is persona non grata there, but he is there just trying to get a glimpse of her through the lattice. And people read that and they say, well, that's creepy. Well, no, it's not creepy. If you love someone and they were taken by the king and hid in the castle to become a part of either his queen or his harem, you'd be there trying to think, is there a way that I can help her? Is there a way that I can rescue her? Is there a way that I can possibly be with her, maybe sneak her out of there? You would be there doing the same thing. So you look at that. That's the background of the narrative. And so if you've never read through the Song of Solomon, just knowing what I told you, it'll change the whole meaning of the book. But also, in the characters, there is a comparison. This gal is a Shulamite gal. That is us in the narrative. Some say that Solomon is the shepherd. Solomon doesn't qualify for the shepherd. Solomon was a womanizing, cheating scoundrel. Not saying, but he was a wise man. He finally woke up. But he is not the shepherd. Who's the shepherd? The shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, who's the king? I would say king is probably Solomon. But regardless, the king is in the spiritual realm is Satan himself, who has tried to woo the Shulamite, has tried to win her affection. He sees a beauty in her that he really likes, but he can tell this girl doesn't like him very much. Well, she doesn't like him because she is in love with the shepherd. So here's the question. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Do you love the shepherd? Do you long to be with him? Do you desire for him, for his kisses, for him to give his blessings upon you, for that greeting that says, hey, it's good to see you. Can you see the shepherd as you go through Solomon, if you'll read it, coming at the dawn of the day, coming to the castle, wanting to have fellowship with you? That's not creepy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you with a love, and he waits for you to come and have fellowship with him. It is a beautiful narrative of our life spiritually. So here's the question. Do you love the Lord? And are you convinced of his love for you? Now imagine for a moment, this awkward question comes your way. Your spouse comes up to you, maybe as a result of the service today, and says, do you love me? And what's the spouse going to say? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's not very convincing. And then there's another, I'll just guarantee you, fellas, if you say that, now there's another question coming. And here's the second question. Are you ready? Do you really love me? Well, now you've got his attention because you've asked it twice. And, I married you. Again, that is not convincing. Well, fellas, if you do that, there's a third question coming. Really? Really now? I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you. Do you really, really love me? Maybe. Suffering from isolation. Husband travels a lot. Spouse travels a lot. Been gone a lot. Maybe a little bit of insecurity. Maybe just because time has gone on and we have a tendency in our relationships, whether it's with a husband or wife or with our Lord Jesus Christ, to become a little complacent and take that relationship for granted. It is sometimes difficult to find words that were once true and kind and heartfelt. Do you remember when you were young and in love and you wrote letters of love to that person? Do you remember when you were first saved and realized Christ's salvation and were deeply in love with the Savior? This is a narrative of a person. What the Christian life ought to be. We ought to long to be with the Savior. We ought to long for Him to shower us with His love and His blessing. We ought to long for that communication. But sometimes we don't give the right answers. So maybe the question would be, are you tired of me? Do you still love me? Do you really love me? Because there is an anxious unsettling of the heart. The recipient of that question could not possibly answer it in any other fashion than, absolutely, I love you. Can you imagine for a moment if the recipient of those questions said something like, no, I don't love you. Well, I hope you have a bag packed. Because that's not going to end well. Or the answer was, well, yes, I love you, but I love you less enthusiastically than I once did. That just doesn't package well. And again, this is a spiritual narrative about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you convinced that He loves you? We say, well, yeah. Well, wonderful. Let me ask you the question. Because He's asking you the question this morning. Do you love Him? Is He, the Lord Jesus Christ, convinced of your love for Him? Or would you say, Lord, I love you. I'm thankful for your salvation. I love you less enthusiastically than I did when I first got saved. Because that doesn't package well this way either. It just doesn't. Does your heart, and we read through this, draw me? We will run after thee. Verse 7, to the shepherd, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Can you say that, Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, I love you. Thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me where you're going to be, because that's where I desire to be. I want to be where the Lord is. Do you desire to be where the Lord is? Do you desire to feed on His Word where He is feeding the flock? Now, obviously, it's 8:30 in the morning and you're here. So there is some indication that you want to be where the flock is being fed. And that's a good thing. But as I check, flocks just don't eat on Sunday. eat on Monday and Tuesday, and they kind of like to eat on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Are you a one day a week sheep feeder? Or do you long to be with the shepherd? Why? Because life is full of heartache. And you're not going to go very long in your life before you have heartache. It was about 2 weeks ago, I guess, an article from PG County, a young lady, Dakara Thompson, 19 years of age, missing. And my heart skipped a beat. A 19-year-old young woman just across the river from us. We have people that live over there. Be careful, because somebody's on the loose. And this young woman is gone. Of human trafficking, at the time, nobody knew. Where is she? Is she dead? Or is she alive? Nobody knew. And then this week, on Route 50, a road going towards Annapolis, just outside of Annapolis, the news report came over. They found the body just off of Route 50. And I said in my heart, oh, I hope it's not that young lady. But it was. A heartache. Loss is a part of life. Now, they have, police did start an investigation, and they found the vehicle and then found a murder scene, and then they have locked somebody up for that crime. And I think senseless. I think tragic. I think there is a mom and dad now without a daughter. And it's just horrible. And people have a tendency to ask me the question, where is God? And in that, they're asking the question we asked just a few moments ago, does God love me? Does God care about me? Does God care about the people in the world? That these senseless acts of violence and death, That's close enough by that we can touch that. This is our neighborhood, and someone in our neighborhood, the umbrella of the church's influence, has missing. Does that bother you? Is it, we said last week, is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by? Can you not see that and be grieved for a parent who's lost their loved one? But again, it causes, when you have a loss, it causes many to question the love of the Savior. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God absolutely loves you. He absolutely does. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because He died for you. He desired to have a relationship with you for all eternity. So people ask the question, if God knew that these types of acts were going to take place, why did He create us? Because God wants, Song of Solomon is all about this, God wants to have a personal relationship with you, not just throughout all eternity, but right now, every day, every moment of the day, that causes Him, as the shepherd in the narrative, to come to the castle where you are being held captive by sin, by work, by distraction, by mandate. Sadly, sometimes because that's where we have chosen to be. Hey, I love you, but I just don't have time for you in my life right now. That doesn't package well with the Savior. And so here we have a young lady who is in love with the shepherd. Again, the young lady is us. We should be in love with the shepherd. I can tell you that the shepherd absolutely loves you and gave His life so that you could have eternal life with Him. And He desires to have that relationship with you right now. You can absolutely be assured of the shepherd's love. thou whom my soul loveth. Can you say that about your love for the Lord? It is well to be able to say without any if, and, or but that we love the Lord. And it is beyond comprehension that we would question His love for us. Because His love for us is without equal, without precedent. There is no one that loves you as much as God loves you. Many can only say of Jesus, you knock on doors, we knock on doors every week, engage people in spiritual conversation. You go, somebody comes to the door, Lighthouse Baptist Church, sharing some good news in here from our church. We have some verses from the Bible about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He loved you, He died for you, He gave His life for you. Contact information is on back. We share that. And people say, no thanks. May I ask you a question that changed my life? Well, sure. People want to know the question that changed your life. Are you 100%? And when you take your last breath, you're going to be with Jesus? And what do you get in reply? Those of you that do that or have engaged people, well, I hope so. Really? Is that the best you can do? Is hope that the Savior loves you? Hope that you're one of his children? That is not the best you can do. And you can absolutely know. These things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do not stay in that dark place where you are not convinced. The Shunammite was convinced that she loved the shepherd and that the shepherd loved her. Are you convinced of God's love for you? No one ought to give any rest to his spirit until he feels quite sure about this matter of vital importance. I am not satisfied with a superficial hope that there might be a God out there that might have a way of salvation, and maybe if I work enough, hard enough, try enough, baptize enough, do enough good works, that maybe when I take my last breath, maybe He'll find a place for me. That is not satisfying. You read through the Bible, you'll find the old saints, much as in this narrative, were not satisfied. They did not speak with, I love the Lord, but God loves me, but if God loved me, then, well, if I love God, and they didn't do the buts and the ifs and the, well, I hope, I trust in the Lord. Read through the Psalms. My confidence is in Him. Do you have that confidence of the shepherd's love? The Shunammite did, and we should, because that's who we are in this narrative. Paul said positively, I know whom I have believed. And we sing the song, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that me which I've committed unto Him against that day. And that songwriter, in taking that message from Paul, said, I am confident, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That was the confidence that Paul had. That's the confidence that we should have in the shepherd's love for us. Job, man, poor guy. You want to talk about a guy that had trouble? It was Job. But Job did not have the benefit of the written word that we do. Job is believed to be the oldest book of the Bible that was put to pen and ink, that was written. What do we find in the book of Job? Job lost it all. Man, it's just a matter of hours. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, Job, even though he had gone through loss, he had buried loved ones, his wife had said, "Dost thou now retain thine integrity? Curse God and die!" Well, I don't think she had the gift of encouragement. Job suffered more than any of us will probably suffer in our entire lifetime. And he bore that suffering. And again, it's just a matter of hours. And in chapter 19, after all of that loss, after being attacked by his quote-unquote friends, after being chastised by his wife for still loving God, Job said, without the book of Revelation, that's not going to be written for thousands of years. This is his testimony. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And then he looks forward to, we've been in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night, church age, the rapture of the church this pole represents. Platform represents the 7 years of tribulation. At the end of the tribulation period, we have the second coming of Jesus Christ, which if you're interested, that's where we are this week, Revelation chapter 19, and then the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. He doesn't have this book that we have, but Job is convinced of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Say, how do you know that? This is what he said, Job 19. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." That's that event right there. That is a guy that had confidence in who God was, and even though he did not have that in print form that we enjoy today, he had that confidence of God. Do you have that confidence that God loves you? And can you say with Job, I got a lot more Bible than Job had. You do. You have it in your hand and you can read it. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And he knew he was going to die. "And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." That is a guy that even in the depression and loss of life was confident of God's love for him. Confident that God was going to keep his promises. Confident that God was going to return again. Do you have a positive knowledge of your love for Christ? Do you have a positive outlook of his love for you? Job did. The Shunammite did. The shepherd is there waiting. He is not at fault. He is waiting there for you to spend time with him. We received some terrible news yesterday. The spot was blank on the outline. Person that I've known casually for about 10 years asked for prayer. Their cousin heard a knock at the back door of the house. Went to the back door and opened the door and was met by a wall of fire. Someone had torched his house. I'm going to guess some kind of an accelerant there, and it is a total loss. Everything that he had on this earth destroyed. Everything in a moment gone. So what do you think this guy asked for prayer? For a new house? No. he asked that his cousin, who was without Christ, would see Jesus. Because sometimes it takes a crisis to cause us to see Jesus. Sadly, sometimes it takes being a captive in the king's household before we'll reach out to the good shepherd. Sometimes it takes that. So here's a question. Can you honestly say that you are passionate about being with Jesus? Because the heartaches and heartbreaks of life are so many. And some will be far away. And some will be just across the street. Some you will not know. Others you will know intimately. Death touches us all. Job 14, Job said this about trouble. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. James put it like this in James chapter 4. What is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But during this time, brief time that we call life, we should be seeking Jesus. Who is Job? Job had reached what many would say is the pinnacle of life. The pinnacle of human existence. He had homes, he had properties, he had land, he had wealth beyond measure. And in just a matter of hours, it was completely wiped out. By God, no, by the wicked one, Satan, is behind the evil and wicked desires and designs of the world. Destroyed the homes, destroyed the crops, the death of his children. But Job never turned his back on the shepherd. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Can you do that in the sorrow of life? Get down on your face and worship the shepherd who loves you and gave his life for you? Can you do that? And tell you, sad times are coming. I'm not going to ask how many of you have never had a sad moment in your life. I'm afraid somebody would raise their hand and I'd have to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Because, man, sorrow is a part of life. Verse 21, Job's testimony. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, we sing a song like that. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Where does that come from? Job. Who did not have John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But he was convinced that Jesus was exactly who he said he was, that Jesus was going to provide a way for him, that Christ was his Savior. He had that confidence. It was January 1955. Colleen, were you around then? Her eyes went up. She had to think about it. Goodness, girl, you were nowhere around in 1955. Newlywed couple held their firstborn child in January, and it was a boy, and they said, what shall we name the boy? Well, it's our firstborn, and it's a boy. We're going to name him after Dad. So they named him after Dad. He was going to be a junior. So very exciting. Newlywed couple, first child, named after Dad. What a wonderful blessing from God. 30 days later, roughly, the child was sick. We're talking 1955, right? So they took that child down to the emergency room, and they said, this child is very sick. Dad was a working man, worked with his hands. Mom was a nurse. And they said, there's something the matter with this child, and we need help. And the doctors and nurses at the emergency room said to them, you're just nervous parents. There is nothing to be worried about. Go home. Your child's going to be fine. And that night, their baby died. That day was the dad's birthday. Now you imagine for a moment that you're a young couple holding your firstborn child, named after yourself. You've gone for help. You've been turned away. And the child dies on your birthday. But that is a testimony of my mom and dad. That's my oldest brother, Elwin, named after my dad. Now, he could have become bitter. He could have. Mom could have become bitter, but they did not. And I am here. How are you blessed by that? I am here today because mom and dad, who had a tragic loss in their life, did not become bitter. If they had become bitter, I would have probably never heard about Jesus Christ. I would have probably never received God's salvation. I would have never surrendered to the ministry. I would not be here in front of you this morning if they had become bitter. The temptation is to become bitter. I was talking to Dad last night on the phone. So here we are, 70 years later. And this year, Dad has lost Mom. They were married for 72 years, I think. And the mom went off to heaven. And Dad, going through all of that loneliness of heart, and those of you that lost loved ones, especially a spouse that you've been with for a long time, you know that heartache, that loss, that emptiness that he's experiencing right now. So we're on the phone talking last night. And he said, Mom got to see the little baby. And he says, as much as it hurts me to know that your mother is not here on this earth, it gives me comfort to know. Are you with me? Comfort to know that she's with Jesus. And that man, now man, is able to see his mom for the first time. He said, I imagine heaven. Mom goes up there and a man approaches her that she hasn't seen since he was this big. And says, you don't know me. And she said, no, I don't. He says, I'm your firstborn son. He says, it gives me a lot of comfort. Are you with me? To know. The Shunammite knew that she loved the Savior. Here's what the shepherd knew. The shepherd knew that she loved him. Does a shepherd know that you love him? Did you spend time with him today? Or does he have to ask you the question? Rick, I died for you. Do you love me? Do you still love me? Do you really love me? I hope your answer back to the Lord is not, well, yeah, but not as much as I once did. Because that would be a heartbreaking, devastating response for anyone, but especially for the one that matters most. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here this morning. You do not know Jesus Christ. You are not convinced of the shepherd's love for you. Oh, won't you let me introduce you to the one that I love and the one that loves me more than life itself. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Pastor, I'm here. I do not know Christ. Would you pray for me? Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a moment. Pastor, I'm in a... Question number two. Pastor, I'm going through a time of heartache. Would you pray for me this morning? Can you hold your hand up for just a moment? Let me acknowledge. Let me see your hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Okay. Let me pray for you. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank you for your love. I pray that those in the room that have suffered great tragedy, great heartbreak, great loss, can be convinced that there is one that will never leave them nor forsake them, the Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. May they be convinced of your love for them. Piano is playing, the altar is open. You want to pray?